Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every child that is born is special, of course, but little Isabel was just a little bit more. She was born with a rare condition where a person be born with their intestines on the outside of their body, and that's never a good thing. So when she was born, she had emergency surgery right away. And Dr. Christine Fink, the doctor on duty, had done countless operations before, but this one was different. She said that she was struck by the small peanut that greeted me that night. Dr. Fink performed a successful surgery and continued to care for little Isabel over the next year, which she said was extremely rough for Isabel. She would visit her each day and would end each visit and every shift she worked by holding her tiny little hand. When Isabel was finally able to be discharged after a few months, there was unfortunately no one for her to go to. Her family had given her up, and she had no relatives that she could go be with. When trying to find a place for her to go, Dr. Fink said, "I can take her," and take her she did, for Isabel became part of the Fink family. And now in seventh grade, Isabel says, "I'm glad my mom was my surgeon because she could take the best care of me." It's a wonderful story, isn't it? A sick, abandoned little girl gets a loving and caring home. Adoption is a real wonderful thing and something to really celebrate. And as we celebrate All Saints Day today, we hear of and celebrate another adoption that took place, that of your own and that of the departed saints. And John tells us about this adoption in just one little verse. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." And that's the point of our message this morning. Today we're going to focus on this profound truth and reality, and we're going to look at it in little chunks so we don't miss anything. John the Apostle says, "See." He calls our attention and he uses a command. He says, "Stop, slow down, pay attention to this. Slowly look at this truth. Don't just pass on by, don't brush it aside and move on, but grasp it. Comprehend it, understand it, believe it. Look at what follows." John wants his audience to see this. He wants us to see this. But why? John's people are facing others in their midst who deny the divinity of Jesus, to say the body is bad, the body is meaningless. But 2,000 years later, his letter hasn't exactly lost its relevance. We live in a world that doesn't just deny our Lord's divinity, it also denies Him and His very existence. Our world and culture directs us to find solutions and security and solace and strength and satisfaction and safety in anything but Jesus. It tells us to find our might and meaning in things of this world, anything but Him. But heresy isn't the only thing facing these people. Worse yet, they're facing hatred as those who are born again as God's sons and daughters. They're facing hardship because of this newfound identity. And even today, that antagonism hasn't let up and will remain. John calls us to see. But see what? What kind of love? And John uses a real strange grammar construction that's only used here in the entire Bible. In Greek, it's only two words, but they're two special little words. The first is a fun one. It's potapein, and it means what kind, but it can be translated in a variety of ways. It can mean what manner, how glorious, how amazing, how wonderful. The word is used to describe something that's indescribable and tries to create a sense of awe and amazement. It carries the idea that what is described is of a quantity and quality just beyond compare. And what is this thing that's beyond compare? God's love. The Greeks have four words for love, and the one that John uses is agape. It's an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. It's an action love. It's a spontaneous and unmerited love. It's the love that John describes God as. One of my favorite authors says it best when he says, "To see this love aright is to sink down in adoration in before it. It's beyond comprehension." That's really an impressive thing, since our world can have some great examples of love. A spouse can faithfully visit their partner with Alzheimer's every day, only to have them never remember that they came to see them. A child can crash the family car only to have mom come and say, "Forget about the car, are you okay?" A parent can work a 14-hour day to satisfy their family so they don't go without. A high schooler can give up a kidney to save a friend's life, or a soldier can give up his life to save another. These are great examples of a deep, spontaneous, and sacrificial love, but John says these just don't compare. They're impressive, all right, but it pales in comparison. And that love that God has for us, a love that gave up his son for you, a love that died for you, a love that rose for you, a love that made you his child, a love that made Dick and Ione and Lois and Pat and Earl and Dennis and Alice his own. What kind of love does that? He challenges you to find a better one. See what kind of love the Father has given. John just tells us who it is that is given such a love. It's not a Joe Schmo or a weirdo or a secret admirer, just anybody. It's the one who put the stars in the place, the one who laid the earth's foundation, the one who told the sea, "This far you shall come and this far no more." He's the one who commands the sun to rise and to set and created the animals from the tiniest caterpillar to the big whale. He's the one who knitted you together in your mother's womb, who knows the very number of hairs on your head, the one who gave you your talents and your skills and abilities. This is the one who has given. And the word "given" is good old-fashioned grace language. It stresses that this love, this adoption, is really a gift. It's not based on us at all. We were born blind, dead, and enemies of God. We have our faults. We have our problems that can make us hard to love and hard to get along with. There's nothing in us organically that would make God ever want us for the sake of us. But he does. Our Heavenly Father doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. There's a great example of that last week. As many of you know, there was a synagogue shooting that took place out east by a man named Robert Bowers. And during this shooting, he was shot multiple times and taken to a hospital. And while being there, he's shouting bad things about Jews, but he's being treated by Jews at the very same time. The hospital president, a man named Dr. Cohen, who's also a member at that synagogue, stopped in and checked on him to see how he was doing. He asked if he was in pain, and the man said, "No, thanks to your care." The FBI agent guarding Bowers told the doctor, "I don't know if I could have done that if I was in your position." Bowers didn't deserve any of it. And it's the same with us. We don't deserve this at all. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve this adoption or this forgiveness. But he gives it. He gives it to us. There can be many things in this world that just aren't meant for you and me. It could be that place at the head of the table. It could be that compliment, "You look nice," which is meant for the person behind you. It could be the email sent to the wrong Nick. Could be the simple hello that was meant for someone else. But the word "here" to us is key. It's important. It means that God, giving his love, is intentional and intended. He knew full well what he was doing. He didn't give it on accident, but he gave it on purpose. After all, there's no such thing as a surprise adoption. God giving this love to us is his doing. And his work, we couldn't ascend up to him, so he came down to us in his son. He knows full well what he is doing. He was intentional in what he has done for you. This love is a gift, and a gift with a purpose. And John tells us what it is, that we should be called children of God. Really think about that for a moment. It's a profound statement. God calls you his child. He acknowledges you as his own, as belonging to him. He's not ashamed or embarrassed or shy about calling you his own or being associated with you. Teenagers might be embarrassed or ashamed of their parents. They might not want to be associated with them, but not God. God's not like that at all. He calls you his beloved son. He calls you his beloved daughter. And that's a precious title because it means that you are his, that you are loved, that you are valued, that you are important and have a home with the God of the universe. He calls you his child. It's not an empty title or an air quote sort of thing. You can't be called a child without being one. And John says, and so we are. You've been made his child through our Lord's death and resurrection for you. Your baptism day was your adoption day, and your baptism certificate is your adoption papers in baptism. You've received the family name on your forehead and on your heart. You've received the benefits of being part of that family, life and salvation. You've been given an inheritance, eternal life, and have a place in the Father's home. And you have a father. And as our father, God obligates to do what every good father does. Provide for his children's needs. To protect them. To love them. Watch over them and guide them. God does all of that. You are his child. And John elaborates what that means. He says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Jesus. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. John sadly says that if the world did not recognize Jesus as God's son, it won't recognize us as his sons and daughters. But that doesn't change who we are or what we will be. Our relationship to God is not visible to the world right now. You don't look like heavenly royalty. We don't wear the white robes of heaven yet. The crown of glory doesn't yet sparkle on our brow. The robe of our Lord's righteousness, our crown of hope, the diamond of faith and love of pearls are not visible to physical eyes. But when Jesus comes, he will reveal it. We will be with him, and we will be with our departed loved ones in the Lord. What hope we have as his children. No wonder John says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.